Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw corner route to the right.
I think, yeah! Touchdown!
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Sunday to you. The game of the century lived up to the hype yesterday. We will break down LSU Alabama coming up here. Also, in the NFL today, are we seeing a changing of the guard in Carolina? And the Bills are in Cleveland, perhaps to put the nail in the Freddie Kitchens coffin. That's all coming up. Also, we'll go inside the Vegas perspective on today's NFL lines. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to join us from VSiN, from Vegas, co-host of The Edge, to look at the lines, the spreads, and the Vegas Sharps perspective. Also later on in the hour, we'll hear from the greatest of all time, Jerry Rice, on what it means to be living as a living legend. All of that coming up in the final hour of Sunday Morning Football, every single Sunday, coming to CBS Sports Radio, as well as heard on Sirius XM Channel 206, and on your phones using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music, or other streaming devices. You can tell your smart speaker as well, play CBS Sports Radio. Or you can watch us every single Sunday at watchda.com. That's available for free on any device. LSU Alabama lived up to the hype, didn't it? We're coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Offense galore in this one last night. Joe Burrow had nearly 400 yards passing, 393. Also, 3 touchdowns, added 64 important yards on the ground, and the Heisman Trophy front runner maybe cemented the Heisman with that play last night. On top of it, this kid went from fourth-string quarterback at Ohio State to perhaps the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. There was 1,100 total yards yesterday, 87 total points. Note that the last time LSU beat Bama was the 9-6 game in 2011, and there was only 500 total yards in that game. Yesterday, there was more than double that. As great as Burrow was, as great as the LSU offense was, as huge as not settling for field goals, punching into the end zone, and also making life difficult throughout the night, especially in the first half,
on Tua Tagovailoa and the Bama offense, you do have to wonder, beyond how great LSU was, about all of the mistakes that we saw from Alabama. We saw Tua just cough up the ball, untouched in the red zone in the first series. We saw a terrible interception at the end of the half. We saw an interception by the Tide defense negated because of 12 men on the field. And we saw Alabama's punter just let the ball go through his hands. These are all unforced errors, essentially. And it never happens to Alabama. That never happens. It always happens to Alabama's opponents. And yet, last night, Nick Saban's team was the one that came apart in the big spots.
Back to pass, Tagovailoa throwing over the middle. Picked off! Picked off by LSU! Return to the 30, down to the 25, and down Patrick Queen, the middle linebacker, dropping back in coverage, and comes up with the interception.
Burrow in the shotgun, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on a wing to his left. Burrow looking left, delivers the football. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got in the left corner! Touchdown, Tigers! First down, pass play, score!
This is why I decided to transfer. I wanted to play. I knew I could play on this stage, and, you know, I got great people around me, great coaching staff, great program all around, and I can't say enough good things about my offensive line.
Compass Media Networks on the play-by-play of last night's game, and LSU Sports Network as well, Joe Burrow after his enormous day. But that really was the swing. That was the swing at the end of that first half when LSU punched in the touchdown, Tua throws the INT, and then they punched in the touchdown again and extended to a 20-point lead at the half, 33-13. And that was the deficit that Alabama kept chasing the entire day. And that is what a great quarterback like Burrow does. He takes advantage of your mistakes and punches in sevens instead of settling for threes. And for Bama yesterday, yes, some of that is unforced, but I think part of that is the simple fact that LSU was going to bring the heat. LSU was going to force Alabama to make all these types of plays. LSU's greatness pushed the pressure onto Alabama, and Alabama was the one that couldn't handle it. And I think we always see the flip. We always see the role reversal of that because Bama's always the elite team. They're always the more talented team. They're always the better coach team, and they're always the bully. And so they force lesser teams to make mistakes. We see this with the Patriots constantly. Patriots opponents feel inferior, feel like they have to be perfect, feel like the pressure is on them, and they end up imploding. Well, that happened last night to Bama. We just never see it because there's never a superior. But think about the last two games Bama's played. At least the two biggest games. The national championship game against Clemson, and then last night. The two times that Clemson met their match. And in both of those games, Alabama made mistakes. Alabama didn't look like Alabama. In those two games, Bama's defense got throttled, ripped apart. And I think it's just so rare because there's few coaches and teams that can man up man-to-man, depth-to-depth, position-by-position, and say, we got this against the Tide. And Clemson and now LSU feel that way, executed that way, and Alabama was the one that couldn't handle the pressure. We'll take a look at the college football playoff rankings as well because people are talking about today, perhaps Alabama, that's an elimination game. But is that true? We'll discuss a little bit later on in the hour. In the NFL, the Carolina Panthers take on the Green Bay Packers today. And if there's a way to find a win for Kyle Allen and company, there might be no more Cam Newton in Carolina anymore.
Cam worked very hard and worked towards getting better. He went out and saw Dr. Anderson, and he's progressing. We feel right now probably the best thing was to put him on IR and move forward. That's where we are with the guys. I really do appreciate everything Cam does. I appreciate the fact that he's still here. He still wants to be around and be part of it.
I feel for him. It's tough for him. It's tough for a competitor like him who's been on the top his whole career and just to be struggling with these injuries. But, I mean, behind the scenes, you see it. He's working his ass off every day to get healthy, not only for himself, but for this team. So it's tough to see him go on IR. But I know he's going to handle it well, and I know he's going to do everything he can to get back.
They have put Cam Newton on injured reserve for the end of the season. So he is not going to play again this year and only played the two games to start off the season and looked bad in both. And remember that at the end of last year, Cam Newton was sidelined as well. Cam Newton's going to be 30 years old, turn of 31. He's got one more year left on this deal at $19 million, about $20 million, but maybe even 21. But the Panthers, by cutting him, releasing him in the offseason, could save 19 of that million dollars, of that 21. If Kyle Allen can go to Green Bay today and win, if the Panthers go to Green Bay, go to Lambeau Field and win this football game, I think that is the next step towards moving on beyond Cam Newton. I know that Newton has been the face of the franchise. Cam has been an NFL MVP. Cam led this team to a 15-1 record and a Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago. But Cam is now injury prone, trying to fight back from a foot injury that's going to sideline him almost this entire season, had a shoulder surgery last year, and is, they save $19 million that can go towards the rest of the roster or Christian McCaffrey, who's an MVP candidate this year as well, and now the guy that this team wants to build around. Frankly, I think this should be the end of Cam in Carolina. There could be other suitors in the offseason. Maybe the Panthers can get something by trading him. But the fact is, if you've got Kyle Allen and can win football games, the offense is clearly working better without Cam and with Kyle Allen. Maybe it's somebody else. But I just think at this point in time, you've seen enough that the team doesn't need Cam Newton to win. In some regards, maybe they're better without Cam Newton, and you can save that much money as you build around McCaffrey. I think you've got to move on. And if Allen can go today to Lambeau and win, that's the next piece of evidence you need. Finally, the Bills are in Cleveland today as the Browns are slip-sliding away this season. They are 2-6. The Bills are 6-2. And if Buffalo puts a stake through the heart of the Browns today, are they doing the same to Freddie Kitchens, his head coach?
Mayfield shotgun on first down and 10. Takes a high snap. Shovels the ball off, and he tried to get it to Landry. And instead, the Patriots jump in front of a little toss, and they pick that off. Unbelievable. The Patriots get it as Lawrence Guy comes up with it.
We're trying to go 1-0 this week, and we're trying to stay focused on the moment and continue to try to get better and start at 1-0. That's how you start. You've got to win one before you can win any more. And we just want to stay focused. And in the moment, this week of this game, this is a excellent football team that's coming in at 6-2. So had a chance to win one of those others. So we've got our work cut out for us.
The ballad of Freddie Kitchens has been told time and time again. He had never been a head coach. He'd only been a play caller for the second half of last season. He was promoted to head coach while also having to figure out ways to get Baker Mayfield better, to get Odell into the realm of the offense, to handle the pressures of being the head coach, to also handle the pressures, expectations of this season. And it fell apart on him. And Kitchens is not going to survive this. Unless they have a miraculous second half of the year, I can't see how Kitchens survives this. He is just in over his head. That much is obvious every single week. I think, though, that today could be the end of Kitchens if they get blown out at home by the Bills. And that's in play. It's in play. If you're at home and your season falls to 2-7, and let's say the Bills go there, great defense, makes the Browns offense look bad again, wins 28-6, something like that. I don't know if Kitchens comes back next week. I really don't, because the pressure is so much right now. The scrutiny is so high. Kitchens looks so in over his head, and the offense is so bad that a loss today essentially is the final nail in the coffin of the season for the Browns. You can't fall to 2-7 and think you're going to be playing significant games in December. But 2-7 and losing ugly today at home, that might be it for Kitchens. And he shouldn't come back for next year because he's just not the right guy for this job. That much is clear. When we come back here on the show, we've got our Vegas virtuoso. Let's look at some of today's lines. And interestingly, in that matchup, the Browns, despite being 2-6, are favored in some places. We'll talk about that coming up with Jonathan Von Tobel from VSiN, the Vegas Insider and Sports Information Network, co-host of The Edge there. We'll look at it from a Vegas perspective. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
And now we're toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest is the host of The Edge on VSiN, which is the Vegas Stats and Information Network, 24/7 broadcast network dedicated exclusively to sports betting. Joining us is Jonathan Von Tobel to look at today's NFL lines. Jonathan, good morning.
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me. It's bright and early. I prefer being on the West Coast. You get the 10 a.m. kickoffs and you get football all day.
Breakfast and football is never a bad thing. And can we ask you about this curious line in Cleveland? The Bills are 6-2. The Browns' season appears lost at 2-6, and yet the Browns are favored by a field goal. Why?
So when you look at numbers like that, realize that field goals mean that these teams aren't even footing, right? Like, you get 3 points for home field advantage. So they're essentially telling you that Cleveland and Buffalo are the exact same team from a power rating perspective. So I think it makes a little sense, right? Buffalo pretty much limited offensively. And the one thing, like, I love this Bills defense, but what they've shown cracks in their defense is that run defense. They're 30th in DVOA against rush. Cleveland, they have shown the capabilities with Chubb, and now you get Hunt back, to be able to establish a run game. So I think really it comes down to they're kind of equal teams. Bills aren't the strongest, you know, 6-2, 7-2 team. The record escapes me right now. But at the same thing, you know, they have a glaring weakness. So Cleveland at home makes sense that they'd be a field goal favorite. It's actually dipped to 2.5, so it's up spot. So Bills getting a little money today.
Chiefs are on the road in Nashville to take on the Titans. Patrick Mahomes is back, and that makes the Chiefs a pretty big favorite. They're favored by 6.5 right now. But is that a little worrisome, considering we don't know just how effective Mahomes is coming off the injury?
I don't think it's really that worrisome, because if you look at, like, Patrick Mahomes and what he does with his pass offense, he's absolutely phenomenal. And Texans, if you look at Tennessee, too, their pass defense, if you look at DVOA, is about middle of the pack, maybe a little bit lower. They're a poor red zone defense as well. So I think the number is sitting there right below 7, only because they're going to see what the market in Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you have to worry about it. The quarterback play is not spectacular for Tennessee. And if they start to get to a shootout, that obviously favors Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mahomes and the Chiefs. But at this point, if I'm personally playing it, I think you got to stay away. Just look at Mahomes. Want to see at least one game with him. But I think the market's a little tentative as well.
Jonathan Von Tobel from VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, looking at today's lines with us as our Vegas virtuoso. The Lions of the Bears in Chicago. We learned not long ago, about 90 minutes ago or so, that Matthew Stafford will not play in this game. What does that do to your interest in the number today?
It takes me completely away from this. I mean, I know that there's no Matthew Stafford, but after the Chicago Bears we watched on offense over the last 5-6 weeks, you're comfortable laying almost a touchdown with them, because I don't even care if they're playing the Dolphins. I'm not trusting that they can cover a number like that. Mitch Trubisky has not been good. I think it's worrisome that Matt Nagy is altering his game plan to appease media heads, like running 36 times in the Chargers game. So I think it's really, you look at this, I get Stafford's injured, and I get the fact that this number has to move because of it, but I don't think I'm anywhere near comfortable laying that kind of a number with the Chicago Bears. And if you are, you're really hoping that Bears defense is going to generate some turnovers and maybe score some defensive touchdowns.
What about the big number in Indy today? The Dolphins are pretty terrible. We know this. The Colts are pretty good, but Indy's without Jacoby Brissett, and yet they're still favored by 11 points. What do you think about that number? Is it too big knowing that the Colts are going with Brian Hoyer today?
No, and actually, it's funny. That number was set and dropped to 10 with their thinking that Jacoby Brissett was not going to play all week. The look-ahead line was 15.5 for this game, but you mentioned the fact that Brissett's not playing. The Dolphins have actually covered 4 straight. We know that they've won outright last week against the Jets, so they have actually shown a lot of fight, especially since it's Patrick taking the quarterback gig. So, you know, I would look at the Dolphins catching 10. I don't think Hoyer's a huge drop-off for Brissett, but that number was actually set thinking that Jacoby was not going to play the entire week.
Panthers and Packers at Lambeau. Packers are favored by 5, but Green Bay looked so bad in that loss against the Chargers a week ago. What to expect from the Packers? How does last week's Packers effort affect how you look at today's number?
I think it might be a buy-low spot for Green Bay. Now, keep in mind, I've been on the, hey, Kyle Allen's not that good train. And I think I'm kind of right in that, but they keep covering numbers, right? They've done it with, you know, Christian McCaffrey's been a big part of it. Their defense has been phenomenal, but they're 7-1 against the spread with Kyle Allen at quarterback. It's amazing what he's been able to do. But we saw this before with this Panthers team, right? They get destroyed by the 49ers, then they come back and put up a huge effort in their next game out. So I think this may be a buy low spot for the Green Bay Packers. Defensively, they're pretty sound. Aaron Rodgers and their offense seem to be clicking at the right time. Just a tough time to go over on the West Coast with that trip. And the weird thing is, Phillip Rivers, he fails to deliver when he's got the minus five at school. But as an underdog, especially on the road, he is absolutely phenomenal.
Jonathan Von Tobel is our Vegas virtuoso today. How about tonight's game? We've got the Vikings and the Cowboys. And this is a haunted house for Kirk Cousins. It's prime time, and it's on the road against a team with a winning record. That means the Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites, but should it be wider knowing how much trouble Cousins has in a situation like this?
No, I don't think so. And even if there's 3.5s out there, I'd expect this to close at 3. You know, it's quintessential Sunday night football game with two relatively even matched teams. You mentioned the issues that Cousins has had in prime time against winning teams, but I will say that he hasn't had a defense backing him like this or a running game. Now, I was really surprised that they only managed 97 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs last week, but you would expect that to come back a little bit stronger, rely on Dalvin Cook in that game, and be able to take some pressure off of Cousins. So I'd be comfortable taking 3 here, but these Sunday night games, when they're sitting on 3, they're never going to move. So you just got to pick. You want to lay 3 or take 3?
I don't know what you do with the battle at MetLife Stadium today. The Giants are terrible. The Jets are even worse. The Giants are a 3-point favorite. Obviously, there's no home field advantage in this situation. How do you assess Giants-Jets today?
You know, I'm with you. Like, it's pick your poison, and I guess I'd rather be poisoned by the New York Giants, who have shown, like, a little bit more fight than the New York Jets. I mean, I'm so amazed that that Jets team, I bet them against the Cowboys. What was that, like, 4 weeks ago? And they go out, and they put that effort on, and they were absolutely fantastic, and they have been dead ever since. You know, it speaks a lot to coaching. And Shermer's not the greatest coach. He's not great with game management. I think I'd rather take the Giants. The issue is that this number's a little bit more inflated now. Look ahead was about 2.5 or 2, and now it's sitting on 3. So you're losing some line value. Maybe tackle it in game, or even better, just don't bet it at all because you don't have to bet all these games.
Finally, tomorrow night is the big one. Seahawks and Niners in Santa Clara. And the Niners are right now a 6-point favorite in this one. Does that suggest that Vegas is totally bought in on the Niners' spotless record at this point?
A little bit. I mean, I think also the fact that it's under a touchdown shows a little bit more respect to the Seattle, too, right? So I think that's what's interesting. You expect this by the time we get to Monday to reach that 7. I think what worries you in this matchup is, one, if you look at San Francisco, the Arizona Cardinals had a little bit of success against them. Their defense, which is absolutely phenomenal, kind of got gouged by some big plays. And if you look at the Seahawks, they're so reliant on Russell Wilson. If that front seven for San Francisco, which is real, is able to get to him time and time again, that's really going to put you behind the eight ball. So I didn't really have an opinion here, but I would expect, if you're out there listening and you're waiting for this number, I'd expect us to get to 7. So if you want to bet the other side, just wait out.
Let me just ask you a college football question before we let you go. A lot of debate today surrounds whether Alabama can make the college football playoff now. Let's assume that LSU wins the West, goes to the SEC championship game, which would mean that Alabama would be an 11-1 squad at best. That means they still have to win the Iron Bowl at Auburn. Do you think Alabama could get into the college football playoff if they are 11-1?
I mean, I think they can. They're Alabama. They obviously, Nick Saban is going to be beating down the doors about their resume and the only loss they have. But I think it's going to be tough if they're still an undefeated Clemson team in there. Like, I'm not the biggest Clemson fan, but they put them at 5 for a reason, so they could jump in once those two teams played, last weekend of the rankings. So there's always a chance because it's the Crimson Tide. But personally, if that's the situation that unfolds, I would have to leave them out.
Jonathan Von Tobel joins us, host of The Edge on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, 24/7 broadcast network dedicated exclusively to sports betting. You can follow him for his latest on today's NFL lines at MeJVT. Good stuff, Jonathan. This was fun, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Damon.
You got it. Jonathan Von Tobel, our Vegas virtuoso. So Jonathan says he would leave out Alabama at 11-1 if that situation unfolds. Let's talk about this coming up here next. What will Tuesday's college football rankings look like after LSU's win and Minnesota's win over Penn State? And can Bama get in if they're 11-1 as a one-loss team among some other one-loss teams? We'll talk about it coming up next. Plus, we've got your insiders and we've got your football forecast. DA, CBS Sports Radio, this is Sunday Morning Football.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's helpful.
It's time for The Insiders.
The NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans, or an NFC encounter between the Lions and Bears, all beginning with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. So glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you. And now we wonder what happens with a one-loss Alabama team in the college football playoff. One is going to be LSU. Two is going to be Ohio State coming up on Tuesday night. Three is going to be Clemson. Minnesota drops out with the loss. Alabama drops out of the top four with the loss. Who is at number four? I think you've got to drop Oklahoma out of that mix. Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State was embarrassing. They needed a frantic comeback in the fourth quarter just to make that a one-score game. They were getting pummeled by K-State. And then yesterday, get outscored by Iowa State at home 20-0. In the fourth quarter and have to have an incomplete two-point conversion to survive against Iowa State. That is not a top four team in the country. I'm sorry. Now, if Oklahoma runs the table, wins the Big 12 championship, and ends up at 12-1, could they get in? I suppose. But I think either Oregon or Utah is more deserving as a one-loss champ. I think both Oregon and Utah are better, more complete teams than Oklahoma. I would put in one of the two. I think they're going to put Georgia at four. I think they'll slide Georgia up because Georgia had the shutout win over Mizzou into number four. And then I think they should push up Oregon to five. But the question is, will they drop Alabama beyond five? I don't think you could put Alabama in the top four. But I wonder if they put Alabama at five. Tuesday's fascinating because it gives us a look at just how far they're willing to drop Alabama after that loss yesterday. I don't think Bama gets in at 11-1. I don't think. But here's the problem. That ultimately this is a television series. That's what the college football playoff committee does. It sets up television matchups. They want ratings and Alabama usually brings them. But could you imagine a year where a 13-0 Minnesota or a 13-0 Baylor gets into the college football playoff? That's actually on the table. I don't think either one of those teams is going undefeated, but either one of those teams at 13-0 this year of all years just might get in. Let's hear from some of the greats, including the greatest. It's time for the insiders. Jerry Rice joined me earlier in the week, and Jerry, of course, is kind of considered one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. And I asked him, as the quote-unquote GOAT, does he consider himself the greatest?
I never thought of myself as being one of the greatest, I just played a game that I really loved doing. And I like entertaining people. And I like everything that came along with that. You know, those training camps, going there, having those two-a-days, you know, putting those pads on, all of that stuff. And that's getting me, you know, ready for the season and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of GOATs in all different professions, but there's a lot of GOATs that are not in athletics, too. You know, you got doctors, lawyers, teachers, and all of that. So in different professions, and, you know, but nothing wrong with trying to be the greatest of all time in whatever you're doing.
There's only a handful of players that deserve in that conversation, but Jerry is certainly one of those. And it was interesting because, you know, before the season, Odell Beckham makes the claim that he wants to be considered in Jerry Rice territory. He's going to chase down Jerry's record. And then look what happens this year. The Bears season, or I should say the Browns season, is a complete disaster, and Odell's not getting targeted, and Odell's making news every single week for the wrong reasons, his cleats, his socks, his uniform. And the one thing about Jerry was, of course he played in a great organization for a long time,
but he never created distractions. It was never about not enough targets, get me the ball, we need a better scheme, fighting on the sideline with kicking nets and trying to go viral, obviously before there was such a thing, but you just didn't have that as part of Jerry Rice's game. And that's why I laugh at a guy like Odell when he says something like that. Man, it takes 20 years of being the very best to do it every single year, locked in focus, football is the only thing. And guys like Odell and others that make those claims are fooling themselves because they do not have the ability and the discipline to do what Jerry did. Herman Moore was one of the greatest pass receivers of the 1990s. In fact, held the single-season record for most catches in a year for 8 seasons until it was broken by Marvin Harrison. He played for the Lions, and of course, he watched Barry Sanders of the 90s do amazing things. And I asked Herman Moore whether Barry's so quiet, did he actually act behind the scenes like a superstar?
He probably has a cape in the back of his pocket. I mean, come on, man. This is Barry Sanders. There's no way you could walk around and see how people look at him and how surprised they are. And then it put it like this. And Barry, I know you listen to this because it's your favorite show. Now, Barry's in decent shape.
Yeah.
All right. And he's a good guy. But when guys come out and the fans go, man, you look like you can still play. Now, some of us have to really take that seriously and look at it. And Barry, I think, in any day and age, could still rush for, I say he was repeatedly 1,500 yards. I give him, he's good, 1,100 yards.
Okay, right now.
Yeah, right now. I think he can get, you know, just a single back set. Maybe we have to give him a fullback these days. We have to put a fullback in the backfield with him in order to get it done. But, yeah, he's got the cape, man. He's probably got theme music behind him and everything. Come on. It's Barry Sanders.
Well, but he always handed the ball off to the ref without dancing, no celebrating, no me type stuff. He's always said all these humble things. I mean, did he carry himself like a superstar behind the scenes?
He did. He was very much so, very professional. He was a quiet leader. Those are, I think, sometimes are your most impactful. Because they do it through the way they play. They do it through their actions. They don't get out and they got to be the loudest person on the field. They got to be the loudest suit and the guy that's all flashy. And that's what you respected about him. And that's why a person of his character and his stature will live so long in terms of in the eyes and the minds of sports fans as being the consummate professional. And players, if they haven't learned that, it's not about just now. You got a career and you got a life after football.
Got me to thinking, talking to Herman Moore, who is all class, just how many guys miss that point. You know, Herman Moore ends up being an ambassador for the Detroit Lions because they want to attach themselves to a guy that's never getting into any trouble, wasn't a me first guy when he played, wasn't a guy that would do anything that would embarrass you. And so many of these guys that want players now that want their attention, want their celebrity, don't realize that, you know, a good way to have a great post-playing career, which is relatively short, 5, 10, 15 years at most, is make sure you keep your nose clean. Make sure you have a certain humility. Make sure you're not going out of your way to do self-destructive things. Because you can have an entire life after your career being with the team, whether it's as a broadcaster, an ambassador, doing community endeavors events, whether it is just attaching yourself to other brands and companies, teams, leagues, etc. You have years ahead of you to do all of those things, and guys like Herman Moore totally get it. And finally, Bill Cowher joined me this week here on CBS Sports Radio. And we discussed his former team. He played for the Cleveland Browns and was a longtime assistant under the Cleveland Browns as well. What is happening right now with Freddie Kitchens?
I think we put such a high expectation on them. And, you know, we sit there and look at all the people that they have. And, yeah, there's some talented names. And, you know, you know about OBJ and then, you know, Jarvis Landry and, you know, Chubb and everything else. And Baker Mayfield, the way he finished last year. I think what you're looking at is a team that, you know, a lot of it's been it's self-induced. You're talking about a team that has a lot of lead the league in penalties. They've given up a lot of turnovers on offense, some big plays on defense, and you know they've just not been able to put everything together. You know, Baker does not look comfortable, to be honest with you, right now, and
And so if I'm sitting there right now, it's Freddie Kitchens, who's a first-time head coach. I think he's tried to temper the expectation, but at the same time, now what you have to do is kind of adapt and adjust. I mean, adapt to where you are, adjust your systems accordingly. You got to be able to stop the run better on defense. You got to be able to not turn the football over and finish some of these drives. I thought they came off really playing their best game last week against Denver. Now, they fell short, but they did not beat themselves. They were not able to score in the red zone. They had several field goals, and they came back to haunt them. And then they gave up a couple of big plays on defense. So, you know, they're getting there, and again, what they have to do right now is eliminate all the outside noise, worry about the expectations, and just find a way to win a game.
What's most terrifying about the Browns is that they have been the least disciplined team the entire year, starting week one, and now we're midway through the season, and they still are penalized more than anybody else. They are still totally undisciplined, totally penalized, and totally shooting themselves in the foot. So what is improving? The offense is getting worse. Baker Mayfield's getting worse. The discipline is getting worse. Those are all on the coach and the offensive mind here, Freddie Kitchens, which is why if the Bills go in there and embarrass them today, win by two or three scores, it's possible Freddie Kitchens does not last another week because this is beyond embarrassing. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
In New Orleans, we're being played indoors, of course, but 95% chance there's a well-coached team, which is very evident, versus a poorly coached team, which becomes very evident. The Falcons are in New Orleans to take on the Saints, and the Saints are a two-touchdown favorite. Think about how far the Falcons have fallen since holding a 28-3 lead of the Super Bowl just 3 years ago. They got Matt Ryan back, and they're still two touchdown underdogs to the Saints in the division. That's because Sean Payton knows what he's doing, and Dan Quinn does not. And Dan Quinn needs to be shown the door after the season because there's no excuse for the Falcons to be this bad with that talent. Also indoors, we're in Indianapolis, where there's a 95% chance the Dolphins go right back to being awful. It's kind of impossible to believe that the Dolphins got a victory over the Jets because the Dolphins are really not trying to win much. I mean, they disassembled the roster. On Sundays, it feels like the play calling is purposefully vanilla, and they still found a way to defeat the Jets. Let's face it, that's going to look a lot like the Dolphins once again tanking today. We can be certain that Miami, having gotten that win off their shoulders, I think they're going to collapse and once again look terrible today. And finally, tonight in Dallas, there's a 90% chance of sad Kirk Cousins face. This is just spin the wheel of Kirk Cousins. This is the Sudoku of Kirk Cousins. This is prime time on the road, opponent with a winning record. All of those things. One of those things means it's a bad Kirk Cousins night. All of those things means it's absolutely guaranteed to be a bad Kirk Cousins night. And Cousins actually was the NFC Offensive Player of the Month in October. But does it carry over to this month? I mean, last week it didn't. And I got to imagine tonight against the Cowboys, we see a very sad Cousins face at some point in time. That's your football forecast. Here's what your day looks like around the NFL. No Matthew Stafford for the Lions as they travel to Chicago to take on the Bears. Of course, Trubisky and Nagy in desperate need of a win at 3-5. The Ravens are in Cincinnati to take on the winless Cincinnati Bengals. Will the Bengals be drafting Joe Burrow in April? The Bills and Browns from Cleveland. Buffalo comes in at 6-2 and undefeated on the road. The Browns are 2-6 and haven't won at home. The Chiefs are in Nashville to take on the Titans at Nissan Stadium. Chiefs get Patrick Mahomes back. Falcons and Saints, as I mentioned, from Mercedes-Benz Superdome. How about this? The Saints, 14-point favorites. Biggest line of the week. Giants and Jets from MetLife. Cardinals and Buccaneers in Tampa. Dolphins and Colts coming up 4:05 Eastern. Panthers, Packers, Rams, Steelers, and Vikings, Cowboys tonight. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, your executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Great job. Thanks to Dave Shepard, a.k.a. Shep of the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Luke Diamond on WatchDA.com with the simulcast and Greg Caserta on your headlines. I'll see you tomorrow on the DA Show, everybody. Enjoy football today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.